Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York. I'm bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Today is a concept. Today is an idea. How does Parmesan cheese relate to marriage? What does it mean to say a painting has ketchup? Now, these are amazing discoveries. And, you know, it's just more and more as we keep, as science keeps unfolding, new information for us. We keep learning about things that affect not just specific parts of our organism, but our whole being as well. Today we're going to talk to you about the psychology of umami. Yes, psychological umami. We're going to, it's going to knock you out. Hopefully I'm getting you before lunch today. This is about human taste sensory organs called taste buds. Now, I've told you before about we have these different taste buds called gustatory calculi. And they are concentrated on the upper surface of the tongue. They appear to be receptive to relatively few chemical species of taste, and they are different. Our taste buds sense 5 different flavors. Bitter, salt, sour, sweet, and now the new one, umami. Now, don't let this go, because even though I've mentioned it to you, you're going to be seeing it. It plays a much bigger role in our life. Umami, until recently, most Western sources limited only the first 4. You know, we had bitter, salty, sour, and sweet. If you asked anybody in school, what are the 4 taste buds, that's what they would tell you. In fact, they used to tell you that there was a map on the tongue. You got salt in the front and sweet on the back, and that's all faulty. They've discovered that none of that really works. It was somebody made that up. Books on physiology of human taste, they had these diagrams of the tongues showing levels of sensitivity to different tastes in different regions. But these maps were all illusory. I mean, where do you taste sugar? You think you taste it in the back of your tongue? Well, try putting sugar at the tip of your tongue and you'll find that you can taste sugar. So who made this stuff up? Well, anyway, we have this new stuff. The new one is called umami. Now, umami means savory, the savoriness. And the best example of umami is in a common food additive called MSG. You know MSG, the thing that everybody's trying to avoid. Well, it's monosodium glutamate, but glutamate is a very important substance because we have it in our body. It's going to teach you a lot today. So your tongue, umami, which is the glutamate, was traditionally well recognized in the East Asian countries. Umami is often found in protein, some vegetables, fermented foods, soy sauce, fish sauce, miso, and black bean sauce. All have umami. So when suddenly you'd see that they'd throw a little miso into everything, the idea of it was to get savory. Now, what does that mean? It means it pulls all the flavors together. Think about this, friends. How many times in life have you been out with somebody or had a friend who has all the different elements? You know, they're wise, they're intelligent, they're good-looking, they're everything, but you just don't feel right about them. Umami is missing. Your taste bud of umami has to work for you with everything, not only with food, not only with smell, but with your job, with your relationships. And we're going to talk about how this affects you today, and it may sound complex, but you'll be amazed at how wise you've been. Umami plays a very important role in Japanese food. It's often extracted from fish, sea kelp, and or shiitake mushrooms to create a Japanese-style soup stock called dashi. You know dashi? Dashi, they use it in many Japanese dishes. Why dashi? Because you throw in a little dashi and it pulls it all together. Now, in the Western countries, until recently, we didn't recognize umami, but umami is, get this, it is high degrees of glutamate umami are available in soup stocks. You know that thing about add a little chicken soup? Broth? I often wondered why they add chicken broth to things. Pulls it together. Anchovies? Not one of my favorites, but they throw it in a Caesar dressing, and the whole dressing comes together. Say, leave out the anchovies out of a Caesar dressing, and it tastes funny. It really does. You know, if you don't like the anchovy taste, don't have the dressing. Some cheeses, and here's the big one, Parmesan cheese. The big secret is umami. Of course you like Parmesan cheese on everything. Who doesn't? You put it on everything. Put it on your broccoli. Put it on your, you know, put it on your eggs in the morning. Put it on whatever you put it on. Because it pulls foods together. It pulls flavors together. Certain things it doesn't go with. I've never seen them put Parmesan on ice cream yet. But it does. It's magic. And so is ketchup. And so is, believe it or not, Roquefort cheese. Is another one of those things. That's why they drop it into things, you know. It's got another sense of umami. In a salad, you drop a little Roquefort and all the salad pieces come together. Well, this is, of course, these are unique. These are common tastes. You may have a taste that's different than that. Tomato sauce. Put a little tomato sauce on everything, and you practically can put it on everything. Brings it together. Ketchup, of course, has a lot of umami. Ketchup is our thing, you know. It's our miso. That's what people use. The ancient Chinese believed differently. They thought there were five elements, and they thought the basic five elements were bitter, like our flavor, bitter, salty, sour, sweet, but instead of umami, they had hot, sense of hot, like chili peppers. They didn't recognize umami. In November 2005, it was reported that a team of French researchers were experimenting, and they discovered a sixth sense, believe it or not. And there's now a sixth one that they're working on, and it's for fat. There's a fatty taste bud. Makes all the sense in the world because hunters, you know, hunters and, you know, especially carnivores would be hunting for fat content. Fat means you're going to be able to store it and you're going to be able to get further on it. The taste of fat is very appealing to people because it means so much in your survival. So there's a taste bud that tells you fat is available and it's appealing. Saltiness. Let's break these down a little bit, and you're going to see how these relate to personalities. In fact, I'm going to talk about taste buds, and you imagine this to be a personality. Saltiness. Salt is a taste produced by the presence of sodium chloride. The ions in salt, especially sodium, are detected by ion channels on your tongue. And it becomes a necessary element for holding the water in your body in balance. Salt is essential to be in balance. You know, it's like an essential thing. You get rid of all your salt, you have too much salt, you get in trouble. Sourness. Sourness is a taste that detects acid. When we say something is sour, we're really talking about the presence of acid. The mechanism for detecting sour is similar to that which detects salt, but it's looking for a different ion. And when something is acidic, it's considered that it may not be good for you. See, now think about people you know who are sour people. You know, what a sour puss, right? A sour puss. They look like... And a salty person, you know, you think about Malagueña Salerosa, which is in Spanish, it's the salty lady. A salty person is usually a spicy person. A sour person is a person who is acidic, you know, in a way. Now there's sweetness. That's another taste. Oh, sweetness is produced by the presence of sugars, some proteins, a few other substances. You could taste sweetness in meat. You could taste sweet. You know, they talk about sweet meat. They talk about sweet fruit. They talk about, you know, it doesn't have to be just the presence of sugar. It's a few things that touch the sweetness receptors. But it is a very appealing thing to most humans to find the sweetness. Bitterness, you know any sweet people? I know sweet people. Many of you out there are more sweet than you are sour. You know, certainly you could be salty and sweet. Now, this is important. Bitterness, like sweetness, is sensed by a protein-coupled receptors coupled to... people find bitter taste to be unpleasant. They find bitterness it's kind of a thing that kind of weeds out the poisons of your body, bitterness. Sour was one thing that was used for avoidance. Bitterness is another thing. Quinine, the anti-malarial prophylactic, is known for its bitter taste. Did you ever taste quinine? Well, it's in tonic. That you have gin and tonic, that's quinine water. And it's known for its bitter taste because it appeals to some people when it's mixed with sugar. So quinine, although it's bitter, when mixed with sweetness, is appealing. See? Now let's think about that. Quinine is bitter. Do you know anybody who's bitter and sweet? Bittersweet? Right? It's an interesting combination because they throw you off center. You can't predict them very much. They reward you on one hand, and they reject you and repel you on another. And then comes this final taste bud, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about taste buds and how they relate to your personality and to your romantic choices. It's very exciting. Umami. Yes, we're talking about umami, the fifth taste bud. Umami. The name comes from the Japanese word for delicious flavor. That's what umami means in Japanese. There's an actual Japanese Society for Research on Umami Taste. Group of people who just study umami. We're going to be getting them here in America. Savoriness is that taste sensation produced by the free glutamates commonly found in fermented and aged foods. Parmesan cheese, Roquefort cheese, soy sauce, fish sauce. But it's also found, get this, and if you've ever wondered why these are such good additions to food, walnuts, high in umami. Yep, they suddenly throw your walnuts in with your chicken, and suddenly you say, this dish tastes a lot better. Because when you have walnuts in a food, it doesn't separate from the food. You know, it's like if you have... If you have something with walnuts and you don't find like you think you're eating just walnuts and just the food, umami is something that brings things together. The taste of walnut is something that brings things together. Grapes, broccoli, tomatoes, of course, and mushrooms. So walnuts and grapes, broccoli, tomatoes, and mushrooms. The glutamate taste sensation is the most intense when you combine it, when you combine umami, U-M-A-M-I, when you combine umami with salt. Sauces with umami and salty tastes are very popular for cooking, such as tomato sauces, for ketchup, you know, soy sauce, fish sauce. If you add sugar, if you add salt with umami, you get MSG, of course. And you get this incredible combination that is very appealing to people. You see why we're talking about this so much as we get into the umami of relationships. Now, our tongue can feel other sensations, and that are included in the five human tastes. There's also pungent, which is a different sensation, cold, which is another sensation, but fat. You know, like if you had menthol, you get a sense of cold, right? It's caused by another kind of ion channel or nerve cell, but it's not an actual taste bud. Pungent is another flavor, but it's a combination of flavors. You know, you can get pungent from a few different things like chili peppers give you a pungent kind of, not only the hot, but the chili peppers. And, of course, the new one, which is turning everybody on end, is the taste sensation for fat. Now, this is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. Why are we talking about umami? You see, well, there are people who, there are some people have lots of umami, and some people have very little. Think about umami. It is the thing that brings everything together. It is the sense of savory. Without umami, a dish doesn't taste any good. If you get order Chinese food and you say, leave out the MSG and leave out the salt, you get food that tastes dead. You can have chicken with a white sauce with snow peas, but they'll taste all separate. They won't go together. In fact, usually the place where you'll order your Chinese food will say to you, are you sure you don't want anything? Because it's not going to taste right. Because they know that you have to be able to pull it together somehow. The dish doesn't make sense without it. There are people who see everything as umamimic. I'm making up words now. Umamimic. They see everything. You know these folks. They have such a variety of taste that everything tastes perfect. Did you ever meet somebody who, no matter what you give them, they say it's fabulous, it's fantastic, it's awesome, and they feel that way about everything. Everything is great. Everything is spectacular. These are what we call the PPs. Remember the pathologically positive people who have everything. Everything is over the top great. These folks need to tone down their umami. You see, they have everything goes together for them. It's making everything seem perfect. The truth is that when you gorge yourself, you rarely can taste anything. There is more flavor in one slice of pizza or even a tablespoon of pizza than, you know, it's amazing. You could take one bite of a pizza and you could just be with that sensation for a half hour because there are so many different flavors in it. You have the tomato sauce, you have the salt, and you have, you know, whatever else goes on it. But if you're eating a whole pizza all at once, you know, if you're gorging it, if you're just stuffing it down because you're hungry, you really don't taste the flavor very much. Umami is a taste of subtleties. Now, in love and romance, panumamis, and that's another new word, which are the people who find umami in everything. They love everything. The folks who love everything are attracted to variations and intensity. They like anything that is intense and anything that has variation. Now, you see, hot peppers and chili are not umami. They're just hot. See, they're savory, but they're hot. And that doesn't necessarily pull everything together. If you put hot chili on top of something like asparagus, you're going to have hot asparagus, but you get two sensations. One is a burn and the other is the asparagus, but usually the burn does away with the flavor. You don't even taste the food anymore. When you use too much hot sauce, it's not too much. When you use a lot of hot sauce, because there's no judgment, some people love it. Like a curry dish. If you take curry and you add more and more curry and you make it very hot, you don't taste the food, you just feel the burn, which is another thing because that burn releases endorphins and makes you feel good. Another appealing way that we go. Well, some people just like the burn. Some people want relationships to just give them burn. They want something that's going to be so intense and so hot that that's all they care about is the heat. But they don't taste anything. You see, in order to have a relationship of any kind, you've got to start tasting the other person. You got to taste their saltiness. You got to taste their sweetness. You got to know where they're sour. You have to know where they're bitter. And loving somebody is an act of umami. You're taking somebody for everything that they are, and you're letting it pull together. If you go to a dance club, you go to a club and you have anonymous sex with somebody who wants cocaine and drugs, and you're in a bathroom, and that's not much of an umami. That's just a dynamic, you know, amazing event. But there are some people who consider that intensity to be the way that they live. They want their whole life to have this. And so, in general, their total life falls together around intensity. On the other hand, my friends, there are people who have no umami at all. Now, these are people, these are the undecided. The undecided, the doubters. You know, these are the people who are always confused because they're always thinking and figuring things out. If you give them a dish to taste, they'll taste the different things in the dish, but they won't go for the flavor of the dish, the essence of the dish. These are people who are always figuring out. When they cook, they're kind of amazing because they have to either follow a recipe, but they're just not giving you, they're not able to taste things. They're trying to decide too much. So they're deciding, and generally when you spend too much time deciding, you don't get a chance to experience. The indecisive people have too little umami. They just don't get a chance to see what it's like. They rarely have things fall into place enough so that they could say, this is perfect. Because every time they take a step, they're doubting it. And they're saying, well, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. If you're one of these folks, you know what I'm talking about. If you're somebody who's a perennial doubter, who's always questioning, who's always undecided, the trouble is you don't have enough umami. It just doesn't settle down. If you can't make a decision between two different relationships, it's because you haven't had a chance to really settle in and get the full flavor of either person. Likewise, as well as the doubter, the search for perfection, that's another kind of person. It often limits, it especially limits serendipity, the thing that will happen when you're not prepared for it, but then something comes along and it's perfect. Like if you're a perfectionist and you're making a spaghetti sauce and you accidentally leave out the garlic, you know. Now, if it was somebody like me, I'd taste the sauce and I'd say, well, this is unique, this is different. And I would get the moment of what it's like to have something that's a tomato sauce without the garlic. But if you're a perfectionist, you've got to have it. So there's no room for newness. Likewise, if you're somebody who's always controlling things, there's no room for anything new. It's always you're in control and you're trying to repeat. In relationships, the perfectionist always gets stuck on the little issues that aren't right. They're trying to make something perfect. They imagine perfection will have umami, but since they never get anything perfect, it doesn't. The controllers, on the other hand, they have a thing about umami. They say it's my way or the highway. You have to do it my way or get out of here, or I'm leaving. They don't get a chance to get the flavor of the moment. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, your umami changes over a sense, over time. When you're a kid, what you consider to be umami may be one thing. What's perfect to you, the way it falls together, that's one thing. But then it changes over time. As you get into your later years, you see that what feels right to you is different. Some people find umami in the excitement of Times Square on New Year's Eve. Other people find it in, you know, somewhere in a park or in the country or by the ocean by themselves. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Everybody has a different sense of when we reach perfection. We're going to be taking your calls a little bit today. I'd like to hear you and your sense of umami, U-M-A-M-I. Our telephone number here is 2900. That's right. That's the other way I'm calling. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille here with you. We're going to take a couple of your calls. I hope you understand what we're doing today. And we'll love to hear from you. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you, Armand?
I'm great.
Oh, I just think you are the best.
Thank you.
My question to you is, I found this very, very fascinating stuff, and I wanted to know Does your senses, like my husband, for instance, is a huge sweet eater.
Yes, a huge sweet eater.
So is that going to make a difference? Does that make a difference in the whole sensory thing?
Well, I think it does. And I think it does because for a number of things. Number one, there are some people who believe that that umami is kind of weighted to one side or another. Because to some people, salt goes with the umami one way, and that makes perfection. To another person, you know, heat has to go with it. Another person, fat has to go with it. But with certain people, there is going to be perfection is going to be a combination of high sugar, and that's what brings things together. Now, as a high sweet eater, it means that he's demanding something for himself. What is he? What kind of personality is he? Would you say your husband is a, does he like your sweetness?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
He is, he's older than I am, so, and I find that one of the best things ever. He's like my center. He's a very grounded person, even keel, like mood-wise, where me, I was always, when we first met, just like scattered all over the place. And he's doesn't eat huge portions of regular food and stuff like that, but he loves the sweet. So I don't know. We like the same kind of music. It's like an effortless relationship.
Is he a romantic kind of guy?
I mean, like if you like flowers every day, no. But he's romantic where, you know, he makes sure, like, if he knows I'm going somewhere that I'm, like, not sure about, make sure that I get there. You know, like, he's romantic in ways that aren't your, you know, stereotypical ways of being romantic, you know?
He's somebody who takes care of you.
Yeah, he's very nurturing, very nurturing.
Very nurturing, and he nurtures himself, too, through this sugar thing. Has he ever said how much give me what form of sugar he really likes?
Any kind of dessert.
Uh-huh.
A dessert. He loves dessert. I mean, we can go out to dinner. He will always have dessert. Always.
So that's him. Now, I'm not going to make a case for what's right and what's wrong. I mean, I know that there will be people who are listening and saying, sugar addiction what it means. And there's going to be a lot of people who would put judgment on it.
Right.
But it's interesting to see, because just from the sound of you, and I'm sorry for this characterization. What's your name?
Jacqueline.
Yes. You sound like a sweet person.
Okay.
You know, and I'm saying, when I say you sound like a sweet person, you sound like a kind person.
Oh, thanks.
And I don't mean it as a compliment. I mean, that's the kind of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
And hear this man who's older than you, who's fallen in love with you, savors you.
Okay.
And loves your sweetness. He loves that part of you. Is that true?
Yes, I think that's very true.
I mean, he cherishes you.
Yes, exactly. And I guess that's why I was so happy to get through today because, you know, way back when we met, you know, because I know him almost 20 years, I had no idea that my sensories were even, you know, doing anything. It's only now, I just recently turned 40, it's only now that I realize after listening, even because I listen every day to you, or the days that you're on, I listen to you, that I wonder if this played a role or plays a role.
I'm sure it does in some way, because there is something about him that helped you pull your life together.
Absolutely. I mean, if my dad passed away 5 years ago, and he was always my rock, and it was really hard for me to get over that, and then having my husband, it's just, you know, he's just my stability in such great ways, you know, in a lot of great ways.
I can hear the association. Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for calling.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, then a little music for you that's quite interesting, and then we'll be back with you.
Hello, we are Kinky. You're listening to WBAI. Estás escuchando WBAI. Y quédate con nosotros. Keep with us.
New York City.
Hola, nosotros somos Kinky de México. You're listening to WBAI. Keep it up.
New York City. Escucha Atlas.
Kinky.
Hace ya unas marajoses. Fue a tomar a la cantina un solo trago. Que se convierte en botella.
Música.
That's The Essence by Lucinda Williams. So she talks about, I'm waiting for you. And she says, she kind of refers to it as, you know, you are my drug. You are my taste. You are my flavor. Kind of interesting, brought to us here by Marty Jacobs. Marty Resnick, actually. Hey, listen, friends, this is Armand Demou with you with a positive mind. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Lucinda Williams, who is doing that music on Essence. And we're bringing you this concept of umami. It's interesting that the thing that would bring everything back together again would be called in Japanese umami. You know, as in, oh, mommy. You know, as if you're talking about your mother. But in a sense, you know, isn't that feeling that you get with your mother, if you have a close relationship with your mother, no matter how bad things are in your life, if you've got a loving mother, what she does is she can hold you for a minute and you could feel all right. The other day I was passing by, I saw this kid running out with no shoes on, waving goodbye to his mother, and he goes running out, mommy, 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 mommy. And his mom, who's on her way to work early in the morning, right, he hugs her and she hugs him back. And they have that moment that says, everything is perfect. Umami. Most people don't get a chance to have that kind of experience with their mothers, believe it or not. Somewhere along the line, something breaks down. Well, maybe that's why nature built in umami. Because they built in this taste bud that says we have a thing inside of us that helps us pull it all together. And it's a sense, a taste bud, 212-209-2900 that we are talking about. It's a sense of being able to bring the other flavors in your life together. I spoke to somebody recently who was very concerned because he had a relationship. And in his relationship, his mate was pressing him to get married. Now, he's a very successful businessman, but he feels terribly unable to make a decision about getting married to this one person who keeps pressing him for the marriage. And he says, he said to me, Armand, he says, I feel so terrible. I'm so indecisive. And I said, but I know you, Tom. You are, I made up that name. I said, you're a person who makes loads of decisions. Look at all these businesses that you have, that you've created, that are totally successful. How did you create all those? He says, well, I knew when they were right. I said, that's fantastic. You knew when they were right. I said, what's wrong in this relationship is it doesn't feel right. You can't get married on something that doesn't feel right. It has to be right. It has to fall together for you. And if it doesn't, that means it's not the right time yet. Umami. Think about when you're cooking. Did you ever start cooking, making a dish, and at some point you could be making the dish, and it doesn't taste right, You say it needs a little salt, it needs, or if you're my grandmother, it needs a little sugar, she always said. No matter what you're making, you add a teaspoon of sugar. It always. But something's going to bring the dish together. And it could be wrong, 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 and then all of a sudden it's right. Umami. Doing a painting. I have a friend who's an artist. She does these wonderful paintings. She paints. It falls together. It's perfect. She does huge canvases. And then she'll overpaint. Then sometimes she'll make a mistake and she'll add a little piece and she'll say, that line wasn't so good. So she'll take it out. She'll paint over it. You know what I mean? Because there's a point in every painting when the artist feels umami. Home decorating, all about umami. Feng shui, all about umami. Umami. There's got to be a sense that you have that everything comes together. Imagine going into a house where a person has 9 different wonderful pieces of furniture. But not only, they may all match, they could all be red, they could all be green, but it doesn't matter because they don't go together. That's the way it is in your relationships too, my friends. You have to feel this. It's right. And now sometimes, of course, very neurotic people, they have a sense about what's right when it's really very wrong. If you know that about yourself, if you know that you're always choosing the wrong people, you can't trust your umami. You got to find out why your umami is broken, right? You go to a therapist. You say to your therapist, I got a broken umami. And the therapist says, well, let's take it out. Let's take a look at what we got here. Let's see what's wrong with your umami. Oh, your umami is based on some early childhood needs. That's why you're waiting for everything to go together. That way, like as if you were a kid. See, and then you get it fixed in therapy, and you get your umami on straight. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you're on.
I've been brought up in a traditional Jewish household, and I never heard of umami, but I heard of something called the raisin. If a cake failed to have the raisin in it to bring the cake tastes together, it wasn't served. And the same was true when you speak of a person in the Jewish crowd. If he fails to have the raisin, he doesn't quite make a impression that he would if he had that quality to it. So I believe this is it.
Oh, that's very fascinating. Could you go back over that? Could you spell the
raisin?
Item?
The raisin is called a raisin key in Jewish.
So you put raisins in the food
to give it the binding quality.
Binding quality, and raisins therefore must have that because grapes have that quality.
So it's a dried up grape, essentially.
It's a dried up grape, and so you put that in your food. It's got the sweetness to it. You put that in your food, and then you pull it out.
So your umami is not really a new concept.
Years. Of course, it's not a new concept. It just hasn't been named. You know what I mean? They haven't pulled it out, and it's been mostly an Asian concept. But you're right. It's not new at all. And now you talk about in personalities, when a man has raisins,
well, when you go with
in
a girl,
Hebrew,
if she has all the intellectual beauty and every other quality, but if she lacks the raisin kid, then you just let her go. She doesn't have that quality which is compelling. She's not a person that you want to really tie up with.
She doesn't taste just right.
Right.
Right. I thank you very much. Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much. Armand DeMille, see that? Yeah, it's really great. You got to be a raisin, right? 212-209-2900. They didn't mention raisins. They mentioned grapes, but they didn't mention raisins. Let's take another call. Hi, Armand DeMille, you're on the air. I wonder if a bay leaf does.
Hello?
Hi there, you're on the air.
I just turned off my radio. I'm sorry.
Sure. You know, a bay leaf, you dip it in. A certain period of time, you pull it out, it's got a flavor. I wonder if it pulls it all together.
Hi, Armand. Thank you. What is the situation when someone doesn't like a lot of things? Like, for example, a person who doesn't like vegetables cooked, but they like them raw, but they can't stand them cooked. Or, you know, someone who has a, you know, limited number and the kinds of food they really like.
Well, you know, I've run into an awful lot of people like that, and I think those are the people I was talking about, the undecideds as well. I've run into people who like no variation among foods. They want to take no risks in food. It's almost like they've had trauma around food.
Mm.
And these are people who eat foods that were familiar to them in childhood. Now, do you have somebody like that in your life, or is
me.
It you?
Me.
Yeah. So cooked vegetables you don't like?
No. I'll eat them raw. They taste fine when they're raw.
Fine or great?
But
do they taste fine or do they taste great?
No, they taste okay. I'll eat them.
Okay. What is great food to you?
I like
any
a
food
steak.
Great? What?
I like a steak, or I like spaghetti and meatballs. Or
all right,
I like,
now, you see, you're talking about things that both have high levels of umami in them, because steak does as well. It has the protein,
right.
And so do the spaghetti and meatballs as well.
Right.
And what else, what do you dislike?
I don't like butter. I don't like milk, plain milk. I have to put something in it, like chocolate or something. I'm trying to think.
Now, let me ask you this, in your childhood.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way about milk?
Yes.
Okay.
I would drink it with some chocolate in it.
And same with butter?
Yeah.
Didn't like butter?
No.
What is the worst thing about butter?
I just couldn't stand the taste at all. Just bleh, it would make me sick if I tried to eat it.
Even if you think about it, it makes you sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right.
What other foods make you sick?
What
other ones do you hate?
Well, really cooked, overcooked vegetables, like, you know,
how do you like overcooked asparagus?
No, I couldn't even smell it. I would just get
sick. It's scary. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as asparagus. You know, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
They only existed in cans.
Yeah.
And there was a thing that came out of a can that they used to call asparagus. It was like a piece of string. And that's what we thought it was. But, of course, that's horrendous. Now, you know, I'm going to ask you this. When you were a kid, I'll bet you didn't get along with your mother very well.
We didn't always understand each other, right?
you didn't really understand each other.
Right.
Now, did your mom have anybody in the family that did understand her, the brother or sister?
Not really.
Yeah, she was kind of a sour lady, huh?
Well, she was two people. She was very nice at times and silly and funny, and other times she would just turn mean for no reason.
Right. Now, I say the word sour because milk.
Oh, milk. That's another one, yeah. Ugh.
What about it?
Plain milk? Forget it. No way will I drink plain milk.
You see, milk is associated with mama. And milk is always associated with mama's breast. It's the first food we get.
Mm-hmm.
And to kids, you know, if you have a mom who gets very upset, that milk could be very distasteful.
Mm.
And you're describing to me a lot of milk products, butter. You know, you're describing milk, you're describing milk products, you're just talking about having been a victim of sour milk and being a victim of a sour mother. I wonder if it's related. Tell me about your mother and her cooking.
I like her cooking. She when she cooks, you know, roast chicken or roast beef or...
stuff that you still like, right?
Or meatloaf or things. Yeah, she was actually a pretty good cook. She didn't really like to cook, but she was a good cook.
And did she ever cook vegetables?
Yes, but I wouldn't eat them.
You wouldn't eat them. You'd be the standout.
I wouldn't eat the vegetables. If they killed me, I wouldn't eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a way you were holding out as a kid. You were holding out, and you probably had some bad physical experiences. You know, a lot of people get sick on food when they're young, and it leaves a lasting impression. Milk and milk products, though, are mostly associated with mothers, and an aversion to milk products is usually associated to some kind of an unpleasant memory of mom.
Oh, I don't know what. They said when I was a baby I was a projectile vomiter, so I don't know.
Well, that sounds pretty sincere, you know, pretty intense.
Yeah, so I don't know, but... I mean, she wasn't all bad. We had our good days, too.
I'm sure. And what's your name?
My name is Ellie.
Ellie?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. It's interesting. Okay.
Okay.
Can I get this tape?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, call my office.
Okay, thank you.
Right. You still call it a tape. They're no longer tapes. Right? CDs. As if that's one word. CD. Hey, Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls. We're talking about umami and food. Hi there. You're on the air. Hello there.
Is this Armand?
It is Armand.
Okay. I'm hearing you saying umami, right?
Right.
Umami, if you go to Ghana in West Africa, the word umami, it means your mother in the Ghana language. And in the Twi language, umami means your mother too. So I it's kind of surprising that the Japanese word and then the word from Ghana sounds the same.
Well, you don't know how they spell it. You know, the sound of the car is very difficult. Do you know
how sorry. Okay, I'll call back another time then.
No, well, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I mean, driving with that kind of sound in the background, he's hearing us say, umami. And oh, maybe it is umami with a U, but U-M-A-M-I. I know, it sounds funny. Savory, umami. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, hold on, let me turn it down.
Sure. Boy, ooh.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you. I just came in. Wow.
You didn't hear the rest of the program we were talking about.
Yeah, I did. You're talking about umami, which is like looking for essence?
Kind of essence. It's kind of looking for the thing that brings everything together.
Whoa.
The flavor that brings everything together.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand, how are you applying that to psychoanalysis when people just call?
Well, I'm applying it to when you have a sense in your life that everything is together and right, and when you have a sense in your life that things don't fall together. Let me ask you about your life, your day today. Do you say your day today is a good day or a bad day?
No, my days are fine. They come and go. I have good days, I have bad days. Just like finding your center, because we're all social beings, it comes and goes because of conjunctions of circumstances.
Right. Now, in the circumstances, sometimes you could find your center, and other times you can't.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's what
now,
like
the things that help you, the part of you that helps you find your center is what I'm calling umami. The part of you that helps all the elements that day, even if they're stressful, come together. Do you know what I mean?
No, all that is social. It's not personal. That's all social. Now, it's how we subjectively apprehend that. That's when it becomes subjective. But all that are circumstances. Sometimes it's biological. We have a headache. Sometimes before we go to work, we didn't get enough rest or whatever. There's a variety of circumstances that lead to that.
Well, let me ask you this. Does anybody hold you? Are you held by anybody?
What do you mean, held?
Physically held.
Yeah, just yesterday.
Just yesterday, okay? So you had somebody who you care about a great deal and you held each other?
Yeah, that almost happens every other day when I come home.
Okay, every other day when you come home, there's somebody there who holds you or you hold. When
yeah.
you're holding them, right? Mm-hmm. This is a romantic person, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're holding your lover, did you ever get the feeling of perfect?
Sometimes. You know, but most times, yeah. I mean, but that's the nature of the social commitment that we have.
Well, okay, so stay with me a minute. Sometimes it's perfect. And other times, it's not so perfect. You feel restless.
No.
Most of the time, it's going to feel perfect.
Yeah.
That's umami. The sense.
I doubt that, but okay. I mean, I just find that, like, I'm listening to you, and I've listened to you, because I take lunch here, and when I come home, and I'm going back to work in a little while. I just find that there's no real science. I find you more experimental.
Oh, absolutely true. I am experimental. Absolutely right. The real science, that's okay, but that's boring.
No,
We've got to experiment. We've got to push it out a little bit. We've got to try to understand with a little extrapolation. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
this is not a science.
But I think it has to be based on some science.
I think it is based on science. Take a look in your computer. Look up the word umami. U-M-A-M-I, and I think you're going to find U-M-A-M-I.
Mm-hmm.
And take a look at that. Look in the Wikipedia encyclopedia and take a look at umami and see the basis of it, and then you'll see how we've extrapolated that to talk about relationships, and that'll make you feel good.
Well, it's not about me feeling good. I'm trying to get an insight.
Well, yeah, you could also feel good.
Okay, I guess in this science...
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Right. Osei.
Osei, thank you for calling. I'm glad he could see. 212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there.
Hello. Hello. I'm on my radio. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So,
What's your name?
Shelley.
Hello, Shelley. Shelley or Shelley?
Shelley. Second.
Shelley second?
No, you said it twice, and I meant the second time.
Shelley, which is the E-L-L-Y.
Right, E-L-L-E-Y.
E-L-L-E-Y. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What do you think of this concept?
I love it. I love talking about food and your relationship to food. When I became allergic to a lot of foods, but I still find... that I can cook something that's perfect, you know, that gives you that moment of perfection and ecstasy, you know.
Your favorite. Tell me something that does that for you.
This week or this month, I'm cooking with walnuts. I'm getting sorry.
Walnuts and things.
Yeah, walnuts, no, but butternut squash, walnuts, and garlic and olive oil and onions, and put that on some kind of noodle, like a dumpling or pasta or on rice. That's like my favorite dish right now.
That's sounding awful good to me. Let me ask you, do you ever share that dish with the people besides yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Who do you like to invite over?
My girlfriend.
It's nice. So you and your girlfriend sitting there one day eating your perfect dish, and the two of you are sitting there and you're having a nice time. Did you ever get that feeling of perfection?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
A perfect moment?
Yeah.
It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
See? Umami counts there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking about, I'm allergic to dairy, but I still adore milk caramel and milk chocolates. But
yeah, I'm willing to speculate that allergies to dairy do also go back to early childhood experiences with mom.
Yeah, I was thinking.
You had a sourpuss for a mother?
She had depression. She was very sweet.
That's pretty sour.
Sometimes, but she had depression, so.
Yeah,
but she was, she sang to us when we were falling asleep. And
so, again, the mixture of good, sweet, and sour, both.
Yeah.
I got you, Shelley. We have to be going.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot.
Sure, thank you for calling.
Okay,
this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI. If you wanted a copy of today's program, you could look on the Internet. If it's not working, you could call my office. 212-757-4488 or go to the website thepositivemind.com. Back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends.
World's attention is focused on the war in Iraq. The human rights crisis in Colombia continues to escalate out of control. On Saturday, January 28th, a coalition of groups is holding a special labor and community forum in Jackson Heights, Queens, to discuss the U.S.-backed war in Colombia. A number of special guests will be present from Colombia, including Luis Adolfo Cardona and Luis Javier Correa of the National Food Service Workers Union, veteran indigenous activist Jesus Rey Avirama, former president of the Regional Indigenous Council of Cauca, Marino Cordova of AfroDes, the Association of Displaced Afro-Colombians, and Nasir Ricani, professor of political science at Kane University and author of Systems of Violence, The Political Economy of War and Peace in Colombia. The forum will take place on Saturday, January 28th from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Renaissance Charter School, 3559 81st Street in Jackson Heights, Queens. For more information on how to get there, you can call 917-685-1044. See you there. Viva.